All right. Here we go. Awesome. It is great to see everybody. Seriously, thank you for braving the hill coming up. And I know it was starting to snow just a little bit earlier. So some of you may have looked out at the snow and thought, it's not worth it. It's too risky, you know, or whatever. I know it's a lot of you are from the west side where hardly ever snows. It was a couple years ago. I think Seattle got a half inch and it was called Snowmageddon or something like that. You know, people are like, we've gone polar. You know, global warming has taken over completely. We have a half inch in Seattle. This is crazy. And I know we're all used to different kind of weather and all that stuff. So anyway, thank you for coming out. Be careful on the way back out. It'll be a little bit slick and everything, but we have a great evening. Thank you so much for coming. And so if this is your first time at CCF, just real quick by way of introduction, my name is Joe Fitzgerald. My wife, Suzanne, is right over here. She is my better three quarters, and we have the privilege of ministering together as helping head up college ministry here at Living Faith Fellowship, along with an amazing campus staff, all the Bible study leaders, and we're just crazy blessed to be here. It is our dream thing that we get to do, and we love you guys. We have four kids. We pray for you guys every night. Pray for campus ministry. Pray that God would move in revival on our campuses. Our kids seriously pray about you and think about you all the time, too. College ministry is in their blood. And we told them we may not be able to afford you, send you to you college, but you can pray for college students either way. That might be as close as you get. And they said, that's okay. And we said, we don't even want you to know how to spell college because it gets expensive fast. And so that's where we're at. Well, tonight as we get going, Chad mentioned earlier about new ideas, New Year's resolution sort of stuff. A lot of us have different ideas what we want to do. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight, and our key scripture tonight is Galatians 6:7. This is the New Living Translation. It's pretty simple but powerful, and here we go. It says, don't be misled. This is so profound, simple but profound. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Okay, that's my kind of thought process. You will always harvest what you plant. Turn to someone and say, you will always harvest what you plant. To somebody else, you will always harvest what you plant. Turn to somebody and say, you cannot harvest wheat if you plant ice cream. There we go. Now you're going, really? You cannot harvest ice cream if you plant wheat. It's not going to happen, all right? You will always harvest what you plant. Now, we are in what some people call is the wheat capital of the world. Okay, seriously, the Palouse region here, consistently, year after year, sometimes it takes a couple years for it to happen again as, you know, things kind of get engineered and all that stuff and everything, but consistently sets the world record for wheat production, for dry land farming across the world, all right? So without having irrigation and everything, we have the most productive wheat land in the world here on the Palouse. It's absolutely incredible. I was doing a little bit of studying on this, okay, because it matters, and we see it happen around here. Typically, worldwide, if you plant a kernel of wheat, okay, that kernel of wheat will produce like 5 stalks of wheat, okay, within these heads up on the stalks, okay? And so sometimes these heads will have, you know, 10 kernels or whatever. You know, you just kind of never know exactly what's going to come. It depends on a lot of different things and everything. But the Palouse is about twice as productive as the world average. And, in fact, can be even way more productive. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But it is profound what happens here on the Palouse. In fact, in the late 1800s, there's some guy traveling across the country, went through the Palouse and saw these Palouse wheat farmers and looked at how productive the Palouse wheat fields were. And he wrote a letter back to his supervisors and said, these lazy farmers on the Palouse produce more wheat than we do back here with all of our current methods and everything. He was just calling them lazy. They just sit inside their cabins and wheat just grows. It was just crazy productive fields. And so this is an interesting topic to get into here as we look at the harvest across our region. It is profound what happens here on the Palouse, okay? You will harvest what you sow, okay? You will harvest whatever it is that you sow. God is not mocked. You will always harvest whatever it is that you plant. You're going to see that happen. How many people have a very difficult class this semester? Very difficult, okay? Hands back down. How many people do not have a difficult class? Okay, you're a student, and you're like, I have no difficult classes. It's easy. All right. Okay. Yeah, we have one excited person. Raise your hands a little higher, okay? So people need to know, great, who to take it out on later when when they're going through, all right, you took all my easy classes and I got the hard ones. All right, cool. Who has a really hard class? You shout it out. Hard class. If you have a really hard one, what's the name of it? Differential equations. All right. Cool. Some tough classes. You ever been to class like the first day? You're like, man, I'm going to drop this thing like a hot rock. All right. I did this. I used to do this. I would show up, go through my first day of classes, okay, and I would have drop ad slips in my bag. Anybody else do that? No. Okay, that was just me. I was like, man, push comes to shove, I'm going to sign out the first day, all right? I got to see what's happening here and everything. And maybe that's why it took me a little while to get through. All right, so I was a math major for a while, okay, and until I got saved, and then Jesus helped me. But I was a math major for a while, and I made it actually all the way through the end of my junior year in math, took a whole bunch of math, and I thought, man, it's only a year more and I could finish, and I went, that is so not worth it, I am done, you know, and so two rows diverged, and everybody got excited and kept going. I was like, I'm out. But my last semester, I took a class called Discrete Math 2, okay, and there was a professor from Israel named Ari Birostoki, okay. He was an Israeli professor, and he was one of the top 100 mathematicians on the planet at the time. And what he was doing as he taught us Discrete Math 2 is he was doing something different, and there was no textbook, okay, and he wanted us to write up the notes that he gave us each day and basically produce a textbook for his new class that he was doing. And I was like, this is scary. Like, there's no way that we can go find this information anyplace else. And I was convinced he was just making it up as he went, as we got going, okay. So that was Discrete Math 2. The first day of class, he told us a story, all right, and he told us that he started off in one of his classes in college as an undergraduate student, and he said it was pretty overwhelming looking in the class. He had a lot going on, and so he thought, I'm just going to have to blow this class off and just kind of see what happens at the end. So at the end, he showed up at the final, and the final was a verbal exam in math. And he said he went into this room, and the professor interviewed you, and you had to pick 3 out of 5 questions to answer and do your best on those questions verbally, and that determined your grade for the whole course. We're kind of listening, fascinated to this thing as Ari Birostoki is telling us this thing. And he says, so I got there, and I did not know any of the questions. So he says he got to the professor. The professor says, okay, which ones are you going to answer? He goes, I don't know. And the professor says, well, did you learn anything in the class? He goes, hey, I read book last night. And so we're going, oh, man, you know, this, he is about to harvest what he sowed, all right, is what we're all thinking, okay? And so the professor says to him, okay, well, tell me what you learned. And he says, so he just told him what he'd read the night before. And now remember, this guy's one of the top 100 mathematicians on the planet, all right? And he goes, so I did that and I got the A. We're like, wow, you know, that's amazing. You know, people are going, that's crazy. And I'm thinking, okay, Ari understands my life. If there's any class, because I was really busy, had a bunch going on, you know, like everybody often, right? And I'm thinking, this is a really busy semester. And if I'm going to blow a class off, it's going to be Ari's, because Ari gets me. I want to get A. That's what I'm thinking, all right? So, difficult class. I was struggling with the notes and everything. I'm studying for the final with a friend. He goes, man, we're in trouble. I mean, we don't even have anything to study because we didn't take very good notes. There's no book. You know, I'm like, shut up. You're not helping much. You know, we're freaking out, whatever. Well, the next day, we go to the final, all right, and just kind of lost. You know, at that point, I'm not even sure where the class is anymore, you know. And so we get there. We all sit down, and Ari says, I know this has been difficult. How many people here want D in class? D. And so there are only about 15 of us in the class. 3 people raise their hand. He goes, okay, write D. You can go. So they wrote D on their exam and walked out, okay? The rest of us are sitting there going, we're rolling the dice. Let's see what happens. And we're looking at each other going, man, you're a gambler. I know. You know, he goes, how many people want C? C. About 3 more people, 4 more people raise their hand, including my buddy that I studied with, you know. He looks at me, he's like, what are you thinking? You know, like, you know. So he goes, okay, right, C, you can go. So people will see on their tests. and walked out, you know. My buddy's like, you idiot. I'm like, shut up. So then Ari says, okay, now there's down to like seven of us or whatever. He goes, how many want B? All of us go like that, you know. He kind of laughs. He goes, hey, you take test. So we all took the test, you know, and everything. And so we take it. And I got done first, which is, you know, as you know, is really a good or bad sign. It's one of the two, right? It's never in between. You know, you're like, I aced this or it killed me. You know, one of the two. So I go up there and he goes, okay, Fitzgerald. And he reads my test. He goes, yeah, not bad. Mm-hmm. And he looks, he goes, you did not write much of book. And I go, no, sir. It's a time for honesty, you know. I'm desperate, and he goes, that's good. And he's reading the test. He goes, yeah, not bad. Yeah, you get B. Yeah, it's, you know. And so I think I ended up getting a B plus and whatever. And I like my test. And I walked out of there just going, God, you are so good to me. You are so good to me. It's been a miracle. You know, this has been a Christmas miracle. If the Hallmark production crew showed up all of a sudden, I would not be surprised at all if we started getting potato flakes snowing from the sky right now. And this is a Christmas miracle. It was unbelievable. I harvested way more than I had planted in that situation, okay? Way more, all right? It's amazing sometimes how life works, but the simple reality is I did well on the test, not great on the other thing. I think if I'd done better on the book thing, I'd have been just fine on the A because I got the concepts that he was talking about, but I messed up part of it, did well on part. The truth is ultimately when it's all said and done, we really will harvest whatever it is that we plant, all right? As we're looking at our lives in the semester ahead, just a simple concept tonight that I want us to try to grasp, and that is just simply this, and we're told this in Scripture a couple different times, a couple different settings. It is true. You will harvest whatever it is that you plant, all right? And so my question for you tonight, okay, harvest, we're talking about sowing, we're talking about planting, we're talking about reaping, we're talking about the harvest, all right? What is it that you're sowing right now? We talk about New Year's resolutions. One of the things that always comes up is that, yeah, everybody messes them up. I think something like 80% of the gym memberships that are bought in December are never used. Seriously, there's hardcore statistics out there, all right? 80% of the gym memberships bought in December are never used. It's because people are going, I want to make some changes next year, all right? But there's something really, something profound has to be different in our lives if we're really going to see something change. If we want to change, something has got to change, all right? And so we go, I'm going to try this. I'm going to hope I do this, all right? But until we sow something in our lives, we're not going to reap anything different than we always have. And it's really true. So I want to look at that tonight just a little bit. And again, the Palouse is incredible. The production of the whole thing is amazing. I've got here some wheat from one of the farms that one of the farmers in our area, a gentleman that was in our church for a long time, Lee McCoy. This is some of the wheat from his field. I love the harvest. I love the natural harvest. I love the spiritual harvest. What we sow, we will reap. So I was looking in the Bible and looking at Jesus' time and when he was talking about this. And these guys, of course, they didn't have, you know, the hydraulic equipment and everything that we have now. They didn't have all of that stuff. They didn't have the tractors. They didn't have the combines, all that. These guys just had a seed bag, and they had the thing full of seed, and they just kind of walk around. They just scatter the seed, right? And go around. And so when Jesus is telling people this, and earlier in Matthew, in the Gospels, this comes up a couple times, and he's talking about this thing, they have this image of what's going on in all this. He's saying, so you got this seed deliberately in your bag, and you will harvest whatever it is that you're sowing, whatever it is that you're planting. If you want wheat, you better be sowing wheat, right? If you want to have lentils here in the lentil capital of the world, which nobody gets, you know, but you're going to be sowing lentils, all right? That's just going to happen. If you want to harvest dandelions, you're going to have to, you know, sow dandelions. We pull up to our house sometimes, and there's a little yellow dandelion. I'm, kids, get that thing, okay? Because they multiply faster than rabbits, right? And next thing you know, your lawn is yellow. Like, what happened? Did everybody go outside and pee? It's dandelions. Shut up. All right, we're working on it. All right, you know, it's the thing is. All right, it just happens. I don't know why it is that the things that we don't want in our lives seem to just volunteer. They don't take any work. You know, no one ever said, you know what I need to do? I need to go out and plant some weeds. For some reason, we don't have much happening for weeds in our area this year, you know. Dandelions just won't show up, you know. I don't know if you can buy dandelion seed, you know, commercially. I don't know. It just happens. Canadian thistle. Can I get some Canadian thistle seed? You know, we don't have those things growing in our yard. Those big purple flowers are so beautiful. And those thorns, you know, just incredible. No, it doesn't happen. That stuff just volunteers. The good things especially that we want in life, we have to plant. What we sow, we will reap. And so just a few things real simple tonight as we look at this, okay? I want to ask you these four things. What are we sowing? What are we sowing? If we're sowing bad things are going to be the harvest in our lives. Some of us look at our lives and go, man, this isn't going well, this isn't going well, and this isn't going well. And we don't realize that we have sown that stuff in our lives. Most of the time, when my grades weren't going well, it wasn't Ari Birostoki's problem. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't my professor's. Usually my grades were a result, were the harvest of what it is that I had sown. The people that I saw that were working really hard, okay, and really applying themselves and using good methods and all that stuff, tended to have good grades. They sowed the study habits and all that stuff, and they reaped a good GPA, all right? And I don't know, that sometimes that didn't seem like connect. I'm like, man, it's not fair. They're so smart, you know. They got the good classes, and they got the easy classes. They got the hard ones, or whatever, right? You know, a lot of times we're looking for someone else to blame for the harvest in our lives. And generally speaking, somewhere around 99% of the time, the harvest in our lives is a result of what we've sown, okay? I hate to break that to you if you've never had that revelation before, but it's true. But here's the beauty of it. What you sow in your life, you will reap. And you're going, that's what you just said. I know I just said that, all right? But we're looking at it from the other side here real quick. If we will sow the study habits, if we will sow the discipline, if we will sow the work ethic, if we will sow integrity, we will reap it. Sometimes we look at the good things that are happening in people's lives and go, lucky, you know, and man, you know, and I wish that were it for me, you know, which they got those genes, I didn't get them, whatever, all that. We have so much more control over the fruit of our lives than the enemy of our souls would ever dare to let us understand. What we sow, we will reap, bad or good. And if we want to see some change in our lives, then all we really have to do is start sowing the things that we want to reap. Start sowing the things that we want to reap. What is it that we are sowing in our lives? What's in this bag? Some of us are going, oh, well, I've got Netflix in here, I've got these movies in here, you know, oh, I got, you know, that, I've got social media in here, I've been sowing quite a bit, and that, you know, I've got all these things I'm doing, recreational stuff and everything, you know, I'm doing all that, that's all going really well, I've got this happening with relationships, all stuff and everything, and we're missing out in some other areas of life, and the truth is, we're starving those things. The soil of our lives, when it comes to the things that we really want, that really matter, we've dropped an occasional seed in those and sown profusely into some of the other areas. We're reaping a harvest in those areas, sometimes bad, sometimes good. And over here, there's just a wasteland. And we're going, I don't understand it. And it's because we haven't sown there. What we sow will determine so much the fruit in our lives. Second, how we sow. Just touched on this. How we sow, sparingly or generously, all right? And this is touched on in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. I think we've got this up here. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, how much we're going to give in life, how we're going to give in the kingdom of God. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. We will reap in proportion to how much we sow. Not just what we sow, but how much? Okay, and some of us are going, man, I don't understand why my relationship with God isn't going the way that I'd like it to, all right? And we've taken this head here, all right, and we've taken one little seed here, and we're like, I took just 2 minutes there. I'm gonna chop that little seed. I don't know if you can hear that. I'm gonna chop that little seed. You can't hear that. It's too little. Let me try again. You can't hear it. Chop one little seed in the Word of God. I've only got so much seed. I've only got so much time. I've only got so much energy, you know? And so I read Psalm 192, verse 8. People are like, that's not even the Bible. Whatever, okay? I wasn't reading it very long, okay? I read Psalm 1427, verse B. And I don't understand why it didn't change my life. We're sowing sparingly into the things that are most important, and we're just barely seeing anything up out of the ground. Just the tiniest little bit of fruit. And you go, I'm kind of starving over here. I put one little tiny seed in here last fall. And during the winter, when all this stuff happened, everything, and the spring starts to come, and there's one little seed kind of poking up out of the ground. I hope I get a lot of fruit, okay, because I didn't sow much into this whole thing. All right, what's the deal? We will reap in proportion to what we sow as well, okay? Now, it is okay. Sometimes people go, oh, so you're saying that I can't hang out with my friends, I can't ever play games, I can't ever spend time on social media. You know, I should probably always wear clothes that come up to here, you know, and if nuns don't approve of my clothing, I shouldn't leave my dorm room and should pull the shades shut as well, right? Is that what you're saying? You're saying, no. There are some places where we should go. I'm going to sow sparingly in this area because I don't want it to dominate my life. It is not what I'm going to consume my life with, all right? That's not going to be it, all right? I'm going to sow sparingly here. I'm going to put a little bit of seed here. It's really budgeting my finances, a little bit here, a little bit there. But I'm going to put the majority of it into the things that are going to matter forever. I'm going to put the majority of it into the things of God. I'm going to put the majority of it into the people of God. I'm going to put the majority of it into the people that God wants me to touch and reach. Now, that's where I'm going. So it's not just what we sow, it's how we sow. Are we sowing sparingly or generously? And some of us need to shift the way that we're sowing and get more sown into some other places. Third, it's when we sow. Excuse me, I just messed up. It's where we sow. It's where we sow. Jesus, in the parable of the sower there, I mentioned that in Matthew 13, he talks about this. He talks about four different kinds of soil, all right? And he talks about the sower goes out, and he's just kind of throwing the seed out. Now, remember, wherever they went out there, those of you that have been to Israel, you understand this. I know some of you have. Suzanne and I got to go in March, and you're going around there, and you go, man, there is all different kinds of soil here. There's places where it's just rock, and there's places where there's crops. There's everything in between. And he talks about how the sower comes out and he scatters seed. Some of it just lands on a path, just lands on the stony path, whatever, because he's sowing this field. And remember, there's all this overlap and all this stuff. And there's a path. I'm over here. I'm sowing. Just trying to take advantage of every bit you can as you're hand sowing out there, all right? Sowing this. Some of it lands on a path. He says the birds come and take it, and it's gone, all right? There's nothing that comes up from it, all right? And some of us, we need to be more careful about where we're sowing. We're like, man, I'm sowing. I just kind of put it there, whatever, and then it's gone. I don't understand why. And sometimes that's why. And he talks about the shallow soil. Okay, there's a lot of stones and everything. It lands in the shallow soil, and because there's moisture there and the sun warms up the soil, it springs up quickly, but there's no depth for the roots to take. And so it ends up kind of becoming dry. It dries up. The drought hits it. The sun scorches it, and it's done. There's no fruit. It doesn't have time to really grow and produce fruit. And he says, and some seed lands next to the thorns, and the thorns end up in there, end up and growing up there with it, and everything kind of chokes the life out of it. Some of us are sowing in thorns. Our lives aren't supposed to be intertwined with some of the things they're intertwined with. And we're wondering, why isn't this working? And things are, the love of God and the life of God is getting choked out of our lives. And why isn't this working? It's because we're sowing into some places where it isn't supposed to be happening. We're not supposed to be mixed in with some of these other things, and it chokes the life of God out of our lives. Where we sow is a big deal. And he talks about the last one. Some of it lands in this fertile soil, and it bears fruit. He says 30, 60, and 100-fold, and in the palouse, sometimes 200-fold. sometimes 200-fold. 100-fold is a good harvest globally. And the Palouse, it's okay. I'm telling you, I believe revival is coming in the Palouse. God is doing profound things in the Palouse. We're going to see 200-fold things happen as the Word of God is sown in rich soil, the rich soil of our hearts and lives. Great fruit will come. Where are we sowing? What is the soil of our hearts and lives like? Is it a path? Are people walking all over us? Is the soil thin? Are we not allowing the Word of God to water and prepare us to receive what it is that God has for us? Is there too much mixture, other things being sown in our lives, and so the thorns and the weeds are choking out the life of what it is that God wants to do? Or is the fertile soil that comes in the presence of God and repentance and God doing deep things in us? Where we sow is very important. Then last, when we sow. When we sow. There are seasons for sowing. The farmer's out there right now trying to sow in the soil of the Palouse and everything. He'd be insane, right? You go, this guy's messed up. I'm not sure what he's thinking. You know, what is she doing out there trying to plant in the snowfield out there, okay? That's not what winter wheat is, all right? Winter wheat is sown late fall, okay? And it germinates. Once it's died in the winter, it germinates. Crazy things happen in the spring. Away it all goes. Everything is profound. There are seasons for sowing. I was praying about that and going, God, what is it? I felt like you really put that on my heart. And I was going, God, what is it that you want, that you're trying to communicate to us through that? And I think it's this. There's fruit that we want in our lives. It is not the season for yet. It is not the season for it yet. We're going, God, I want spring. God, I want summer. God, I want the citrus groves in my life. All right? Tired of the winter. Can I have Florida, please? All right? You know, whatever. Can we go to Arizona? All right? I just want things to be a little bit different. God, it's been kind of a barren time in my life. Sorry about that. It's been a barren time in my life, and I want things to be different. So I'm going to sow over here. I'm going to put the seed here because I want that harvest in my life. And God's saying, it's not time to sow in that field yet. It's not time, maybe, for that relationship. It's not time, maybe, for that pursuit. It's not time yet for that in your life. Would you be patient? Would you trust me? I'm doing something that you cannot rush in your own works and with your own thinking. There's a season coming that you cannot rush, but I will bring it, and the harvest will come. Just not yet. Just be patient. If all of a sudden the wheat sprang up overnight on the Palouse, the harvest would be devastated. We're going, God, I want it now. He says, I love you too much. It'd be ruined. It'd be lost. It'd be wasted. It'd be gone. And I want to bless you. Will you wait? Will you trust me, son or daughter? And then there's other things. We're saying, God, I don't want it. And he says, this is the season for it. Oh, can we do that later? He's going, no, it's time. It's so much work, though. I don't want to dig into that. Can I take you seriously when I'm like, I don't know, an adult? Just not yet. Is that okay? I'm just being honest with you, God. You know, I'm not really there, all right? Can we give that some time? Do I have to mature? Do I really need to discipline myself to dig into your word? Is it really that season? Do I need to discipline myself to maybe not do that and do this? Is it that season? He's saying, yes. In the season of discipline, I will bless you and you'll see great fruit. You will see great fruit. Here's the thing that you will find in common with the harvest around the globe is it's work. It's work. And he says, will you do the work to sow so you can see the harvest I have for you? Trust me. Trust me. The right timing, the right season, the right seed, the right soil, in the right places, and the harvest will be beautiful. As the worship team comes up, why don't you just ponder these things? We're going to take some time and one more song in worship as we wrap things up tonight. I want you to think about this. There are things that I am sowing deliberately in my life that I need to evaluate. Some of them are good. Some of them are not good. Some of them are not good, and it needs to change. There are things in my life that I'm not sowing deliberately. I'm avoiding. Some of those are good. Some of those are not good. There's some things you're going, oh, man. You know, if I really embrace God, then I'm kind of under his thumb. If I really embrace the discipline of discipleship and what it is that God has for me, then is he just going to steal my joy? And I'm not embracing that. I'm not sowing that in my life deliberately. And maybe it's time for that to change. And God is saying, I will only bless you. There are things that I'm not sowing deliberately, and that needs to change in my life. There are things that I am sowing by neglect. I am sowing by neglect. We think if I'm not proactive about it, then I'm not really sowing. Then bad things aren't really going to happen, right? No. Things are sown into our lives, and we sow things into our lives, into other people's lives, just by neglect. And we're seeing stuff come up and go, wow, this is amazing. We're walking at some stuff. We're getting seed on our shoes, and we're taking it farther and farther and farther. There's this stuff that sticks to us and that just goes, and it transfers all over the place. There are things that are happening by neglect, and the enemy is winning, and we need to stop and just go, yeah, I need to be aware of what's happening in my life. And there are things that I am not sowing by neglect, where God is saying, it is time for you, son or daughter, to wake up to what it is I want to do in you. This has been neglected, and this is the season to sow. If we want our lives to look different in 2020 in some areas, we've got to take a look at what's in the bag and begin to sow it in the right time, in the right places, in the right amounts, and God will bless it. So we're taking a minute to just respond. I want you to just kind of pray over that. And as we sing this last worship song together, you can just sit there and pray. You can stand up, lift your hands, whatever you want to do. There'll be some people, some of them are mature. Folks in ministry will be over here on this other side of this, and they'd be delighted to pray with you if you'd like to. Let's just take some time and just give this to God and respond to him. All right, I'm going to pray for us as we move into song with the band. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that in you is life, and there isn't life anywhere else, and so we need look no further, and we pray tonight that you would show us what it is that you want to do. We pray that you give us eyes of faith to see in the year 2020 what it is that you have for us, and give us the faith to trust you, God. There are some things we need to let go of. There's some things we need to grab a hold of. There are some things that we need to allow to starve and die in our lives, and some other things that we need to begin to nourish so they can bear great fruit in our lives so that we can be transformed. And God, we look to you and we say, we believe. We believe. We trust you. And there's places we don't, but we still rise up and say, God, give us the faith. We need to believe you and to put our trust in you so you can do whatever it is that you want to do in us, Jesus. Let faith and hope arise in us tonight afresh. We pray to the glory of our God that this year might be the best yet and the best still to come. In the name and faith of Jesus, we pray.